You're listening to Bob, Dave, and More on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and More right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. A reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group. It's free. It's there for you. Incredibly convenient, as we just heard the order from Governor Jay Inslee, the stay-at-home order. So obviously you are not able to be in front of the radio as you otherwise would be, sitting in your cars or what have you. So a great way to keep the show with you, and we are going to remain on the air and try to be the diversion for you while keeping you up to date. So just please make sure you guys are following the orders and staying put unless you really need to be out. And again, in case you didn't catch all of what the governor had to say, the following types of businesses will remain open. Talking healthcare, critical manufacturing, childcare, food services, transportation, defense agencies, courts, and media. So for the very latest on this, and just to stay up to speed on what's going on with the coronavirus, how it's affecting you, the stay-at-home order, all of that, just go to 97.3 Cairo FM, our sister station over there. And one other thing that the governor emphasized, where we've heard everybody emphasize, and hopefully people will start paying attention, no need to hoard food. There is no shortage in terms of manufacturing. Yeah. There is no shortage in terms of supplies for toilet paper, for soap, hand sanitizer, those things. But, you know, Dave, I was telling you last week, and I think I said it on the air, I was in Costco, and I had an employee there telling me about people getting in fights inside the store, getting in fights out in the parking lot, climbing the racks themselves, trying to get things down. I mean, people need to kind of take a breath. This whole thing is very different for a lot of people, but, you know, there's no need to panic. And acting that way is only going to create more panic. It helps nobody. There's no need for it.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing how sort of animalistic we still are, even though we are, have evolved as a species. There is still some sort of animal-like behavior that persists. So, you know, it's very... I think Jay Inslee has been very comforting and done a really good job during this whole thing. And I think that's really helped. And then we've had people come on. I thought Miley did a really good job also. And, you know, look, you want to be told the facts, and you want to be told, what the steps are and what logically, and know what the numbers are. That's where I think that a lot of people are getting nervous and, you know, possibly panicking, is they're letting their mind run wild. And so to get the facts on this kind of stuff, it's been really nice. And I hope we've done a good job of sort of carrying that on our show as well. I know we're trying to do sports mostly, and it's a diversion that people, I think, really need, but hopefully we've done a good job. And I think we have, as far as just telling people, you know, what the facts are and what you should and shouldn't do.
Yeah, and just clearly a terrible situation. And with Governor Inslee saying that no one should overstock, and so hopefully people will heed his advice on that. And my wife went to the store today, and she picked up some different things, but we were looking at, you know, getting a Scrabble game and getting a jigsaw puzzle. And she said that those things are out now, at least where she went. I think she might have gone to Target or whatever. But, you know, this is one of those things where, I don't know about you guys or other families, but my kids usually come home and they're playing video games and they're in one room, and, you know, my wife and I might be in another. And it's kind of bringing families together, which I think is, you know, you guys might give me a hard time for saying, ah, that's corny, Jim, shut up. But, you know, the kids, I mean, we're going to be like watching movies and doing things together as a family, and probably going on walks as a family. And usually the kids would be like, that's boring, I don't want to do that. But they'll do anything to get out of the house now. So if they're stuck with mom and dad, it might be kind of fun for them rather than just sitting here and playing Fortnite all day. So there's, you know, some good that's going to come out of it. But clearly you don't want to be in this situation, but everybody's trying to make the best of it, and that's what we plan to do here.
Yeah, or you're going to have to learn how to play Fortnite, Jim.
I played it one time, and I didn't do very well, Bob. Yeah, I just kind of did. I hid behind things, trying not to get hit.
That sounds like a very Jim strategy. I'm hiding behind things.
Sounds like a beta male thing, doesn't it?
I love it. All right. Well, as I said, we will do our best to keep you guys updated on everything that's going on out there as the news becomes available. But one more reminder, if you missed any of that or you just want the very latest, just head to 97.3 FM, Cairo FM, and you'll get the very latest on what's happening out there. All right. Meanwhile, back to sports. Let's get back to sports. And just before we get into KJ Wright, Jim, you saw the Seattle Times had a poll over the weekend talking or asking fans how quickly they'd return to games after teams come back to play. What was that like? I mean, how surprised were you by the answers?
Well, I just, 55% said immediately they would come right back and not hesitate. They'd be back as soon as the Mariners are playing or the Sounders or whoever. Maybe it'll be the NFL season. People are saying they'll come back right away. So that was the majority. But then the other responses, people were saying, it's going to be a month or two until I come back. And other people were saying, wait till next year. So it occurred to me that, we sit there and we wonder about when our favorite sports, when our favorite teams are going to be playing again, when we can go back to the ballpark and go back to the soccer pitch and see all these, teams that we're missing right now. But will the fans come back? I mean, will they? I just sat here and I thought, oh, I'll bet they'll come back in droves. But then when I saw that poll, I thought, well, maybe not. And maybe, I mean, who knows? Maybe Governor Inslee will come out and say, yeah, the Mariners are back, but we're going to have everyone sit, every other seat or something like that. Or maybe they won't have a need for that because if they're expecting 20,000, maybe only 5,000 people will show up. And so that part of it, I'd be interested to get response 710-710 on how fans feel about that, because there might still be a lingering fear that people don't want to get into big crowd situations like they did before.
Yeah, and just a little programming note, I think we lost Dave here, so we're going to try to get him reconnected in a moment, dealing with our own technical difficulties. I don't know, man. I feel like, Jim, that they've really erred on the side of caution. We just talked about how the governor's handled this. I think most people feel like he's done very well, and it feels like everybody across the country is erring on the side of caution. So if they give the green light and say, hey, we are past the worst of this, this is no longer a fear, or whatever happens to alleviate their concerns, it's okay to hold these events now, you can have big gatherings, and the sports world resumes business, I think I'm going to trust them at that point. And I understand if people don't want to do that, but I think I'd be part of that 55% that said, all right, if they're telling me it's okay, I'm going to believe them, because they've been on the other side of this, to the extreme of being cautious and really trying to get out in front of this thing. So if they feel good enough to give that declaration that, hey, we're open for business as usual, feel free to jump out there. It's summertime. Hopefully this will be in the summer when this happens, and enjoy the weather. I'll be part of that 55%.
Well, I will be too, Bob. And I've grown over the last few years, where I'm one of those guys that doesn't mind just watching a Mariner game on my flat screen rather than hassling with crowds and traffic and, prices of beers and that kind of thing. And I just, figure, well, okay, but I think I might change a little bit after this. I'm hoping I will, because, I mean, it's like we went to the Husky Cougar basketball game, and I'm watching Cougar basketball all the time on the flat screen. And this is this is going to probably be something that goes without saying, but I just, the whole night I was there, I thought, God, Jim, you used to be a bigger fan than this, and this is so much more fun to be here watching the game live and in person than it is watching it on the flat screen. And granted, you got the HD and everything is bright as day and you get the replays and everything else, but it's one of those things that has kind of been lost on me as I've gotten a little burned out as I've gotten older. And I think it's something that I'm going to embrace more once I'm able to go back. And I've missed spring training. We were going to go down to spring training. I know in the big scheme of things that this is not a big deal, but we're 3 days from when the Mariners are supposed to be opening the season against the Texas Rangers. It's a fun time of year, even though you knew that this is going to be a season that the Mariners aren't going to do that well, but it was going to be fun to watch all these youngsters and see how they develop. And here we are now just in this holding pattern because of the virus. And so I'm hoping that that cynical, skeptical, burned out me can evolve a little bit and get to the ballpark more often than I've been going in the last few years anyway.
Yeah, listen, you're in a different circumstance. You've got a wife and kids, and you live further away. I live closer, even though I'm a little further in West Seattle, but I'm not here with wife and kids, and I don't have those responsibilities. So I'm somebody that was at every Seahawks game. I'd go to an average of 40 to 50 Mariners games a year, try to get down to the clubhouse and talk to those guys. And it's going to be interesting to see how people respond. And you guys can text in 710-710. To the text line. Are you somebody that would be right back in business once they give the it's all clear? Once you hear that from the officials, are you back? Are you, if you're somebody that already went to games, are you going to be back? Or are you one of the people saying, you know what, I might hold off for a while, or I might wait till next season? I'm one of the ones that'll go right back, but somebody made a good point. Listen, a lot of people financially might be in a different position. Maybe they're not going to be able to do that right away, and I totally understand that. We in this business, we have the luxury of media credentials, so that part of it isn't a concern. So I totally get why somebody would say, yeah, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm wondering what the crowds will be like, if there'll be just such an appetite because people have been locked down for so long, Jim, that they're just like, give me an event. Just give me something to get out of the house that's just been different than what I've been doing for the past weeks or months or however long this thing lasts. I could see it go either way. There's apprehension. People are a little leery of going to a big gathering, or people are like, I'm chomping at the bit. I've got to get out. They gave the all clear. I'm there.
No, you're right, Bob. I was just sitting here thinking about it. I wouldn't be surprised either way. If the Mariners, now, even I imagine opening night, whenever that's going to be, you know, maybe it's going to be June or July, or maybe we won't even have a season. But let's say we do have something in June or July, the very first game there at T-Mobile Park. I would expect that it would be a good crowd. But if it was only half full, I would also understand that. I could see people's concerns. And, yeah, people are texting in 710-710. The financial part of it, people out of work, the income part of it is going to come into play. And I just, like Dave was saying earlier, I mean, the people that are out of work, living paycheck to paycheck, and hoping that the employers will take care of their employees. And but I don't imagine that's the case everywhere. So it's going to be difficult. And I think there's still going to be, even if Inslee comes out and everybody comes out, Dr. Fauci, all these different people, if they come out and say, hey, it's okay to go back now, I still think there's going to be maybe a little bit of lingering concern. I'm with you, though. Right now, with what Governor Inslee said, you want to follow to the letter of the law everything he's telling you to do. They're not doing this to inconvenience us needlessly. This is something that we need to be following what he's telling us to do. And if he comes back a month or two from now or 3 months from now and says, hey, the coast is clear, things look good, then I'm going to trust him on that one, too.
Dave is back with us. And Dave, we were just talking about, you know, a poll that Jim saw in the Seattle Times, you know, sports fans, when you get the all clear and sports resume, are you going to go back, or is there going to be some apprehension? And 55% said they would go back. Others saying, you know what, maybe I'm going to wait a month or two, and others saying, hey, you know what, I'll be back next season. Obviously, financial concerns are something that are a huge part of that. But just in terms of feeling safe, I said, listen, once I get the all clear from the officials who have erred on the side of caution, who've been really, really cautious with this whole thing, if they come out and say, hey, we're good, we're going to have gatherings, there are going to be sporting events, go as you normally otherwise would have gone, I'm in. And I think most people will be chomping at the bit at that point.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I'll be there too. The 253 is saying, I'll be back, especially Fridays at Edgar's. So we appreciate that.
Perfect.
We broadcast out there, but we'll see what happens with the baseball season. But, you know, Oprah Winfrey, I remember, she has a saying that you did the best you knew at the time. You know, and I'm hoping that that's how we come out of this, because, you know, you hear people say, well, if we'd have taken these precautions in the beginning, you know, it wouldn't be where we are. We wouldn't be where we are now, but we didn't know. You know, we did the best we did with the information that we had. So, and I think everybody's together on that. So hopefully, you know, that's a thing. And I mentioned earlier, you know, the kind of finger pointing and judging, you know, I just don't think that does any good, you know. And again, you know, come out of this thing. I was talking to my daughter. So, She is an electronic music DJ, and she got a chance to she was going to be, you know, kind of like an undercard on a festival or a, whatever they call it. I guess they call it concert, whatever. And at the Gorge. And it's been her lifelong dream since, you know, she was a senior or junior in high school to, you know, to actually play her music at the Gorge. Just would love that. And that's not happening. It got canceled. So it's just, and I was, you know, she's incredibly disappointed, and I am too for her. And, but, you know, I was just keep trying to tell her, and it's hard to tell younger people, you know, the older you get, the more experienced you get, but I just keep telling her, hey, it's how you come out of this. Okay. So when we do get the all clear signal, you know, if you've been just sitting around and worrying and freaking out over things, I mean, take it as an opportunity to get better, you know, and to have a good mental, you know, outlook. And we've kind of gone up and down, you know, we've had good days and bad days. And there's times where, you know, I get kind of scared. And then there's times where I think, oh, everything will be okay. So, yeah, it's just an incredibly difficult time. But I think, you know, if you use this time to try to improve yourself, and like I said, you know, how you come out of this thing, I think is going to be, you know, where some people are, it's going to take them a while to get over it. And for some people, it's going to, you know, they're going to be okay with it. So, yeah, just trying to, I don't know, I guess I'm a coach at heart and trying to kind of coach people up. But I feel like, you know, I feel like that's what parenting is, basically. It's coaching. You're just coaching them. So I, you know, hopefully that's where we come out of this as a country. And like you said, Jim, or maybe it was you, Bob, you were talking about how you're actually spending more time with, I like that, the puzzles and Scrabble and stuff like that. We play this game called Catchphrase. It's awesome. I don't know how my wife gets it on her phone. And so it'll be a name or a phrase or something, and you have to describe it to your partner and without using those words. You know, this guy is he loves golf, and he's a talk show host in Seattle, Jim Moore, you know, or, you know, they call him rock star. He's a black belt in karate and
it's
jiu-jitsu, Bob. It's jiu-jitsu. Bob is a black belt in jiu-jitsu. You know,
there
you describe that, and then people say Bob Stelton. By the way, I heard that you got like super like choked up when you got your black belt. That was like a very kind of an emotional. Tell us about that. I mean, that was really cool to hear. Bob, you're a big tough guy and everything, and you got kind of choked up when you got your black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, I got really choked up. It was because in jiu-jitsu it's different than other disciplines where there's kind of a timeline. Like you kind of know when you, I learn this much, I'm going to advance to this belt, and then once I learn this much, I'm going to advance to this belt. In jiu-jitsu, it's really up to the discretion of your professor, which we call our teacher, is referred to as the professor. And some people advance at different rates. I mean, it might take you 2 years to advance to the next belt. And, you know, I've been doing this for almost 13 years at this point, doing it, you know, through a lot of injuries and things like that. And that was my goal. I was like, I just want my body to last long enough to get to the black belt. That's been my goal this whole time. And you go to these ceremonies where they say, hey, we've got belt promotions on this specific day, and everybody shows up. You've got a couple hundred people there, and you've got no idea if you're being promoted. Maybe you get a stripe, maybe you get the next belt, but you don't really have any idea. There's no heads up. So it's always a surprise. You see them up there talking in front of everybody. They're conferring with each other, and then they'll call somebody, Dave Wyman, please come up here, or, you know, Jim Moore, please come up here. So you're seeing people get called up to the front, and you know, they take your old belt off and hand you the new one or put stripes on your belt. So, yeah, I didn't expect it at all. And it was just sort of the culmination of a really long, hard journey of putting my body through hell and just something you sort of devote your life to well over a decade. So, yeah, it came out of nowhere. I didn't expect it. I thought I was probably still a year away at least. And yeah, once he called my name, I was like, at first in shock, then I was getting a little choked up. It was a big moment. It was huge. So,
very cool.
Something I missed, by the way. That's not happening right now. Gyms are closed. Jiu-jitsu academies are closed. So it's not happening right now. I miss it. But yeah, that was a huge, huge moment for me in my life. That was one of my biggest achievements, I would say.
That's awesome, Bob. I love hearing that.
Yeah. It was. Thank you. It was definitely a big deal. By the way, I want to tell people, just on a lighter note, that I tweeted out a picture of Frank. I tweeted out a picture of Dave's dog Hoover. So you can go to at Bob Stelton on Twitter or at Bob Dave and Moore on Twitter. I retweeted it there. So yeah, picture of Frank, picture of Hoover in all of their glory, and they're both wearing bandanas. So that's pretty cool.
Cool. And Bob, I'd like to point something else out too.
What's that?
I'm the oldest of the three of us, right? But I'm the only one who has not had technical difficulties today, okay?
You are.
Hey,
you're right.
There's something to celebrate. We're all looking for positives.
That's right. It was you the other day, and then today it was me, and it was Dave. Jim's just steady as a rock, by God. So that's great news. Yeah. We'll come back. We'll
talk. Silver lining ever.
Hey, a silver lining is a silver lining. It's still silver, Jim. We'll come back. We'll talk about K.J. Wright. For those K.J. Wright fans out there, it looks like good news that he'll be back with the Seahawks in 2020. We'll explain that story next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore. Another reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It is powered by Dubin Law Group. Coming up in the next segment, a little less than 15 minutes from now, we'll see what we learned today, and we're going to have a guest voice because we don't have the option of giving Maura a microphone. She's at home as well, just like we are. So Matt Nelson will be handling the duties on what we learned, and he's really, really excited about that. So stay tuned for that. meanwhile, as long as he
doesn't have to talk about sports, you know,
yeah, he'll be fine.
That will never happen.
He's going to be gold. Don't you worry about it, everybody. You're in for a treat. You can text in 710-710 is the text line. Got some really cool texts coming in. Jim spreading lies throughout the text. That's always fun. telling somebody that told somebody I was 52 years old when I got my black belt. What's the matter with you, Jim? What's wrong with you?
I knew that would get to
you. He's just cracking himself up. I love it. All right. Hey, I wanted to get to this because we've been speculating about the future of a couple of key players to this team. We talked about Justin Britt. No word on him yet. A lot of offensive linemen being accumulated, so it doesn't look great right now. But K.J. Wright was the other guy, and he was due a $1 million roster bonus on Sunday. So we thought, all right, if they're going to make a decision on K.J. Wright, it's going to happen before Sunday because they don't want to give a guy $1 million and then release him. They didn't release him. He gets his $1 million, so it looks like he's going to be sticking around. I think, Dave, you probably agree. Right move?
That's awesome. Yeah, I love KJ. I think he didn't get very much credit for the kind of year that he had last year. Guy had three interceptions, and two in one game in Carolina. I think the other one was in Cleveland. But just did a really good job of being physical. And, I remember that tackle he had in Philadelphia, and I can't remember if it was the regular season game or the playoff game where he kind of grabbed the guy around the neck and everybody was freaking out over it. It was a perfectly legal tackle, but it was very aggressive. And KJ has just been, and early on even, I thought he played well all year long. There was never a time where I'm like, what's KJ doing? I just thought that's a small price to pay to have that kind of a player on your defense. So love that. Hope KJ's here another 2-3, how many more years he wants to play. He's got 855 tackles. He said he wants to get to 1,000. He told us that in an interview during the season. So really happy to see KJ. And, it shows a little bit his coverage skills. Did a really good job of, dropping into the right zone, reading quarterback's eyes, and he still can run. He's got those long legs. I feel like that really helps him out. He's got long arms. I mean, he's like Spider-Man out there. I love it.
Yeah, well, you look at K.J. Wright, and so if he wants to get to 1,000, he had 132 tackles this year, so it'll take him another two seasons anyway. But, yeah, I'm with you. I thought maybe he'd be a salary cap casualty. especially when they're looking for a pass rusher, and especially when we were talking about Clowney maybe getting $20 million a year, but now we're down to $13 or $14 million perhaps if Clowney does return to Seattle. And I just wondered about KJ after the 2018 season. Now, he had that nice interception against Dallas in the playoffs, but he only played five games that year, and I thought, boy, it's going to be tough for him to bounce back maybe at the age of 30 in 2019. But, boy, Dave, you look at the season he had, three interceptions, five tackles for loss, and he still has it. He'll be 31 in July, and it's going to be fun to – and just one of the best guys ever, too. I just love K.J. Wright. I'm happy he's going to be back on this team. And you could make a case if you wanted to, and what the heck, I'll just throw it out there. So he's making $7 million a year. His numbers aren't that far off of what Bobby Wagner's numbers are. Wagner had 159 tackles this year, seven tackles for loss, one interception. K.J. Wright might have been just as impactful as Bobby Wagner this year, and there's a huge difference in salary, $7 million for K.J. and $18 million for Bobby Wagner.
I'm glad he's back. I love KJ. I would have understood if they said, listen, financially, we were in a position we have to make a move, and he's, you know, his dollar amount is one we can't sustain, but I'm glad that wasn't impacted. I agree with you, Dave. He seemed to receive criticism at the beginning of the year. We kept getting people texting in, and I think they were reacting to the way the defense played as a whole, which was they were, you know, very soft, and linebackers were ending up in coverage. So people were saying, oh, KJ, he's lost a step. And I think they'd get fooled like I did on that play you were showing me on the computer, where I watched the guy that was trailing the guy that just caught the ball. And I thought, all right, that was his guy. He just got burned. I think that happens more often than we realize, that we just look at the guy trailing a receiver and go, well, he got burned. When you were pointing out, you know what, that this was actually not his man. This was the responsibility of this guy. And here's, I think in that case, maybe it was Michael Kendricks that was trying to make up for a mistake that somebody else had made, where it looked like Michael Kendricks blew it. So I think we get deceived a bit. And I think people saw some of the completions that were happening over the middle with linebackers in coverage at times. And it looked like, okay, KJ's lost his step. He's constantly trailing these guys, when in actuality, wasn't really the case.
Yeah, and you know, and look, and I always use the qualifier that, look, I think this is what, you know, I don't know what their rules are, is what I always say, is because sometimes if you're in a zone and a second guy goes through your zone, you're supposed to pick him up man-to-man. It's a game plan type of thing, but for the most part, I think you can figure out if you look at, are they in zone or are they in man, and, you know, whether or not, you know, it's funny, where they just showed, unfortunately, Super Bowl 49 has replayed over the weekend. And remember, he was split out with Gronkowski, and Gronk caught a touchdown on him. But, you know, Gronk's one of the best, and really KJ had good coverage, but he didn't stop him from catching the ball. It would have been a really difficult play by him. So sometimes it's obvious and sometimes it isn't, is my point. So, yeah, to me, what I saw out of him, and after the game, you know, you don't always remember exactly. You look at the replay, but, you know, I go home and watch the game a time or two and go back and look at different players. And, you know, I just thought all year he did a really good job. The other thing is he broke up 11 passes. So, you know, he's in those lanes, in those throwing lanes, again, with those long arms. Remember in Pittsburgh, he had a couple of open field tackles that were just phenomenal. And one of them, he actually grabbed the guy by his hand. It was almost like they were shaking hands, and he was able to get him down on the ground. And, you know, a lot of times your tackles that you get, you know, he had 132 last year, which was his best performance. And overall, 2016 was his best year, and he went to the Pro Bowl that year. He had four sacks and 126 tackles, but 132 tackles that he had, and they're not all pretty. They're not all this square him up, you know, wrap him up, take him to the ground. I mean, you love those type, but for the most part, it's just grabbing on to anything that you can, and that's what I saw a lot of from him last year.
Good stuff. Well, I think we're all glad he's back. We're going to come back, find out what we learned today. Matt Nelson making his debut. So get ready for some radio gold, everybody. That's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
This is the point of the show where we see what we learned every day. And Guys, I'm going to have to learn something new because, as we've heard the reports, the West Seattle Bridge is going to be closed for the foreseeable future for repairs. I don't know how to get to Seattle without the West Seattle Bridge. I've never had to do it. I don't know how that works. So maybe somebody can text in and give me an easy route from West Seattle to Seattle not using the West Seattle Bridge. But anyway, what did we learn today, Matt Nelson?
Well, first we learned that Ryan Divish isn't exactly struggling with the concept of social distancing.
A pleasure to speak to this guy who's been practicing social distancing for the majority of his life, I would assume. He's with us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline, covers the M's for the Seattle Times. Our buddy Ryan Divish is here. Ryan, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm many feet away from anybody every day of my life. So, I mean, you mock the social distancing, but this is a guy that takes a bath in Sorrel every day, so I don't know that you can mock anyone for that.
Ryan seems the guy who would be completely at ease with being in the middle of social distancing, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, and he's a man after my own heart because it hasn't really bothered me. And we talked about that the other day. Jim was able to do his golf show. You continue to sanitize everything, and I continue to socially distance. So I'm doing okay too. I think Ryan Divish is doing great. Sounds like he's going to get to stay down there. It's nice and warm down there, so good for him.
I don't think Divish could stay 6 feet away from a cocktail, though. So I think he might have an issue with that. But I think he's okay with the social distancing part of it.
What else did we learn, Matt?
We also learned that living in quarantine has really broadened Jim's sports horizons.
Outside of that, I probably did a lot of what you guys were doing. Just, you know, I was watching some old golf tournaments on the Golf Channel. I watched a cornhole competition, which was actually pretty entertaining. It was a women's team competition, and they were really good at it. I watched some wrestling with Randy Orton last night and Batista and Daniel Bryan out of Aberdeen, the local favorite here. And some Australian rules football. So it was a mixed bag for me this weekend. But it's, you know, surreal is a word that gets thrown out a lot. But that's the way it felt this weekend.
Jim, is there anything you won't watch right now if it's on? A replay of some sort of a sporting event you otherwise wouldn't watch?
No, I can't think of anything. You know, when you watch these games, even though you don't know they're live, like, well, and then the golf tournament I was watching from 2 years ago, the Valspar Championship, I didn't know who won, so I just watch it and enjoy it like it's happening live, not knowing the outcome. So, no, there's not really, to answer your question, no, not too much I wouldn't watch.
No, I mean a sport, you like, I know you're not an MMA fan, but the UFC is, they had a marathon on ESPN. Right now, I've got the Gypsy King. I've got Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder 2 up on the screen. They're replaying that, and I know those are events you're not normally into. So now that there is not anything live happening,
no, I probably would watch it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about
I
you,
probably
Dave?
Would,
how about
yeah,
soccer, guys? Anybody?
Yeah, I would watch soccer now.
I don't think so, Dave.
I can't do it either. I'm sorry. I would rather watch replays of games between teams that I don't care about. I'm sorry. I know we're supposed to, you know, be, you know, nice to each other, and I'm sorry, soccer fans, but you're not listening anyway, so soccer fans don't listen to our show.
What else did we learn, Matt?
Finally, we learned that Lincoln Kennedy won an eating contest because he couldn't afford to lose.
Story behind that is Supeli Malamala, my other tackle, challenged me one day. We were going there for lunch, and he said, hey, let's try this contest. And then we realized about 3-4 sauces in it, where I was basically started to get full. I told Sup, I was like, dude, what happens if we don't finish, you know, in this eating contest? He's like, we got to pay. And we didn't have the money to pay. So I was like, Sup, one of us has got to take over. And he's like, man, I'm checking out. And Sup left me. He left me. He ran out on me. So I had to finish it or I would have to pay or get in trouble.
Now, more importantly, how did you feel after that?
I hated sausages ever since.
You know, so basically his buddy ditched him.
Yeah, left him holding the bag, and he was He was forced to win. He was forced to complete that. Is there any, Dave, let me ask you first, and then I'll ask Jim. Is there anything you think you could legitimately compete at? Is there a food item where you feel like, you know what, I would have a chance if we were competing with this item? Did we lose Dave? We might have lost Dave. Jim, what about you?
Maybe we lost Dave. I'll answer the question. Pizza. I think I could get after it with pizza, like a cheese pizza. I'll bet you anything. I could polish off an extra large if I had to. Yeah.
Really? You know what I think I could do? I could do tater tots. I love tater tots.
Tater tots?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean.
What do you put? You just eat them straight? You eat them straight, or do you have salt, ketchup? What do you do with them?
Yeah, a little salt on there. Got to have some ketchup, but that's pretty much it. I think I could, if I were going to compete at any food item in a competitive situation, I don't know how I would stack up against somebody who does it for real, but that would be the one item I think I'd have the closest opportunity, as I love tater tots. I can put them away. They're not great for you, but I could put them away.
All right, how many do you think you could put away? 100? 200? I mean, where would you draw the line, do you think?
Oh, man. I could do 100 easy. I'm saying that right now. I could do 100 tater tots. 200, I don't know what the record is. I don't know what the time limit would be, but I could do 100 tater tots, no problem.
We have to arrange this. I want to see it.
You know who would be the dark horse is Maura, because she always tells us, and I know she doesn't have a mic right now, but she always tells us how much she can eat, and she's very deceiving because she is so thin. She's very tall, very lean. But she talks about her ability to eat a lot of food. So I think she could be a dark horse. I don't know what her food item would be, but she could be a dark horse in a competition with the four of us.
You know, Jim, I have to say, you and me, I hate Bob and Maura. I just hate them because they can eat whatever they want and they stay slim. Bob's always talking about, oh, yeah, I can't get enough. Sometimes I need to get my weight up. Man, you too, you're killing me.
What item would you be able to eat, Dave, if you were going to compete in a eating competition? What would be the one item?
Plain M&Ms.
Plain M&Ms.
Yeah. Plain M&Ms.
I think I could eat a lot of those. Yeah. How many do you think you could eat of those? I don't even know.
How many?
Like maybe.
Like 500?
300, 400, 500, something like that. Yeah.
Wow. We're going to have to set up a competition when this is all done.
That.
When this is all done and we're back to business as usual, we're going to have to set up a competition amongst the four of us.
Can you imagine the colors that would come out if you puked that up? That would be like puking out a rainbow.
Taste the rainbow. Yeah, you take the Skittles tagline, taste the rainbow. All right, that does it for us. Hey, by the way, great job, Matt Nelson. Seamless.
Matt Nelson, you're the best.
Told you. You were going to be just fine. I want to thank our guest today, Ryan Divish, John Clayton, Lincoln Kennedy. Thanks so much to those guys for joining us. If you missed any of today's show, just head to the podcast page, 710sports.com. Click that podcast button, then just click on our picture. It's right there waiting for you each and every day. We appreciate all of you hanging in with us through all the technical difficulties as we work our way through this each and every day. We're back with you tomorrow right here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.